been caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning, 7:40 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Beautiful day out. It's a perfect time. A little crisp, but I'll take it. Perfect time for us to talk with Sheriff Chip Simmons from Escambia County. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir. Good to have you.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, we won for our category in Men Who Cook on Sunday.
I saw that.
And you were not there to enjoy it. I was missing you being around.
I was part of the Men Who Eat competition. and we won as well.
If you get fed, you won, right? Yeah. Let's talk about a couple of incidents that have taken place. Several really concerning incidents. Let's talk about the one that you were on the news last night talking about this, Channel 3. Alanda Cuffey was the victim, but this was a domestic violence shooting. Her stepfather wound up killing her, right? What happened here?
Yeah, you know, oftentimes we talk about motive and what leads to a certain thing, and oftentimes it is a disturbance that led to a fistfight or a disturbance that led to gunfire. In this case, it was a disturbance, but it was a unique disturbance by all accounts and by the witness accounts. This was just an interaction, two people walking within their own kitchen, and I guess he got offended because he wanted to pass through, or she didn't let him pass through, or something to the effect of he could have at least said, excuse me, before he walks by me, to which he went to his bedroom again, allegedly, and picked up a handgun and came back and just started firing at her four to five times, killing her. She was pronounced deceased at the scene. And he was charged with the homicide. Mm.
You know, you and I were talking about this a little bit before the show, and I think every human being has what we'd call crazy fleeting thoughts or impulses or, you know, in a domestic situation, a lot of times your spouse or your kids or your parent, they know how to say a thing that just totally gets under your skin. And whether they know it or not, a lot of times they do. That's why they say it. But the reaction of that might fleetingly be, oh, I'm going to do something. And then, you know, the adult impulses, you know, the impulse control and ethics and character take over and you just don't do anything. And that's, but there are some people who they don't or won't stop themselves, right? And they do the most awful thing as a response of what to most people seems like a fairly minor incident.
Yeah, again, I can't comprehend why, first of all, the disagreement over it, you know, anyone that has raised kids, and my two boys, where he walked too close to me, he's sitting too close to me, and he's sweaty and all this stuff, and you just kind of roll your eyes and say, look, listen to what you're doing. It's crazy. But in this particular incident, apparently he had no control of that you would expect him to have. So honestly, I have no sympathy for him. Mm-hmm. You took a life for something completely meaningless, and you're going to jail. You'll answer for it, and we can go from there.
We had a couple of other incidents. Now at the jail, to Escambia County Corrections, you had a couple of officers wound up getting charged for basically beating one of the inmates for another, seems like a fairly small thing. You can't beat the inmates anyway, but Sharif Hale and Larry Martin are the ones who have been arrested for this, right?
Yeah, a couple weeks ago, our investigators got a call. As you know, the jail doesn't work for the sheriff's office, so it's a separate entity.
And that's still unusual in Florida, right? Most counties, the jail is under the sheriff's domain.
It is not the norm. That is correct.
Okay.
But anyways, the Board of County Commissioners run the jail, and one of the lieutenants saw what they felt like was a little discrepancy in some reporting, and why would they go into the cell? Apparently, they have rules that they cannot go into a cell after a certain time. Without the lights on or whatever the rules are. But so they violated this, and two corrections officers went in there and by all accounts to teach him a lesson. And then they battered him rather severely, and then they left, and they came back into the cell to clean up the blood. And I, as I understand, even clean up a piece of the tooth that was knocked out. But this particular inmate, and I don't know the inmate's name. I don't know what his charges were. All I know is that the two corrections officers cannot do what they've done, and our investigators determined that they committed a crime, a felony, battery based upon the situation, and we submitted an affidavit to the judge, and they were arrested for it.
So. It's just, you know, we sometimes talk about cops who do bad things, COs who do bad things. It's that has to be cleaned up, because, you know, the whole, as you always talk about, professionalism, integrity, service, you know, that's the motto for every law enforcement agency from beginning to end. And look, I know being a CO is a hard job, but, you know, you have rules.
And, well, I was a CO.
And you were a CO, right? That was your first job. Yeah. So,
And again, it's unacceptable, and there's got to be a level of accountability. And again, they did reach out to us. They did call us, and I'm not sure where they are with regards to their employment. All I can tell you is they are charged with felonies, and they're being held accountable.
We had a shooting that took place a little while back on Booker Lane in Cantonment, and you guys had been searching for Devon Williamson, and you found him for this shooting, but you didn't find him here in Florida.
No. You know, we had been looking for him. We had put him on our Facebook platforms, our social media platforms. We had placed him on our billboards because we really wanted, we knew who it was, or we believe we knew who it was. Mm-hmm. There was a warrant, an active homicide warrant for him. We also felt like he had left town. And so our investigator, I mentioned it a couple of times, but John Little is the investigator. Man, he does a good job. Our entire team, our homicide team, does a jam-up job. But they don't forget, right? And so he's continuously looking for where this guy might be, following up on all the leads, and we put him on Crime Stoppers and everything else. Lo and behold, he has discovered, or we believe he is in Phoenix, Arizona, and we also believe that he is at the bus stop. We have reason to believe he was going to try to catch a bus somewhere.
Hmm.
So we contacted our Marshals Task Force people, which were part of that network, and they send him, and sure enough, he's at the bus stop, and he has cut off his dreads, and he is armed with a firearm and a ticket to El Paso. So the thought there was he was trying to leave the country eventually. But he didn't get that far. He is under arrest, and we are making plans as of yesterday for a couple of our warrants deputies to go and pick him up and fly his butt back to Escambia County.
And I thought I heard one report that the dreadlocks weren't just cut off, but he was carrying them or something. Does that?
Yeah, the people over there in Arizona, they sent us a couple of pictures because, again, they're glad to get a murderer.
Yeah.
They're glad to catch him at a bus stop. There's something, you know, makes you feel good about being a law enforcement officer, catching someone when they're trying to flee.
You're right.
At a bus stop.
Right.
In my mind, over the last couple of weeks at least, he's been out, you know, running from the law, changed his appearance. Mm-hmm. You know, you assume he's going by a fake name, doing everything he can. And this, so when we catch him, they take a couple pictures. Is this your guy? Yeah, that's our guy. He looks a little different. I held up two pictures on a video we did. But also the picture of the dreads that were still in the bag. I mean, I don't know if you want to change your appearance, don't
for like
keep
his
the stuff
future baby book or something,
before.
Right?
you know, if you wear glasses and you don't want to be known as a person with glasses, don't carry the glasses with you either.
Here's my five cases of glasses on my hip. Yeah,
and then he had a gun, which surprised no one that a murderer would also carry a gun when you're on the line.
We had the attempted homicide, the double shooting at Oakwood Terrace, or Truman Arms Apartments. A couple weeks ago, week or two ago, and you know, you had said you were looking for people, and you found three people, right?
Yeah, we talked a little bit about. We had some people, you know, we felt we had some interest in regarding to the shootings themselves, and we were working with witnesses, and we were working with some video that we were able to gather. And while the people weren't necessarily the victims of the shootings weren't necessarily talking to us, we again, our investigators did a really good job of piecing this what is going to end up being a very complicated ordeal. But we ended up arresting three people. All three of them were arrested for attempted murder because they're trying to kill each other. Although we believe there were as many as six people with firearms or long guns at the time. And their investigation continues, and we believe that we will. We have a lot of confidence that we will make more arrests in this case. Now, the female, we arrested two males and a female. There's ultimately three.
Okay.
I think the news initially just said two, but there's three people.
Okay.
That were arrested. There was a female that handed one of the guys a gun. He came back to the car she was sitting in. She handed him a gun, and he went out and started shooting. And then another guy got shot, and then she went and picked up the gun that he had, and she disposed of it. So she's got some principle to attempted murder, and then she's got destruction of evidence and a whole number of things that that she's going to be charged with. In addition to this, again, this attempted homicide. So,
and you said there's other people that you're still looking for, and this was basically a back and forth. I mean, this is like a shootout, between folks.
Yeah, right there in the middle of Oakland.
An apartment complex.
And there, and again, there is video. We're still working through the video, so it's not yet been made public. But we're trying to identify a couple more people that we think were involved. Some had guns and some didn't have guns. And then we'll probably end up putting this whole thing out. So this is how it happened.
We also had, a little bit lighter story, but still, sort of amazing. You had a guy who, as I understand it, he was breaking into the Carson Pawn Shop on Pace, but your deputies found him where?
Well, we found him ultimately on the roof. And again, he's trying to break in. We get to recall that there's a burglary in progress. And, if you're a law enforcement officer, you get a burglary in progress, and you're going.
You're ready.
This is why we do the job. And we end up finding this Willie Wilson, but he's on the roof, and he realizes he's kind of stuck, right? And so he's wandering around up on the roof, breaking windows. And with assistance of the firefighters, fire department, Escambia County Fire and Rescue, were able to access the roof as well. So I got deputies up on the roof. He's up on the roof, which is apparently a pretty small area, and he's walking around the edge. So now what are we going to do? Are we going to tackle him on the edge of the roof?
Yeah.
We're going to tase him on the edge of the roof. And he picked up a piece of metal, and now he's using it as a makeshift weapon. So our deputies, again, did a jam-up job. They waited until he was in the middle of that roof area, tased him. He fell into a safe area, and then we obviously cuffed him. And with the assistance, again, of Escambia County Fire Department, we were able to get him down, and he is being charged as well. So I know that sometimes we have a healthy back and forth with the firefighters.
Yep.
But I would tell you what, on a day-to-day basis, on hour-to-hour basis, we work so well together on traffic crashes, and we help them with traffic when they're fighting fires. And they help us, obviously, in cases like this whenever we need it. So, our hat goes off to Escambia County Fire and Rescue. And we really appreciate it.
Well, I just think it's amazing. You have ladder trucks and pumper trucks and, engines. And then you got the squad vehicle. Squad's got all of the rescue equipment, all the specialized gear to
all
get
cool
people
stuff.
Out. Yeah, all the odds and ends that you need for the various tasks. And I just don't think there's a tool on the squad for how do you, detain a guy on the roof of the pawn shop who's resisting arrest near the edge of the roof? They just don't have that equipment, but they had enough to help you get up there.
Well, yeah, and I do some follow-up. I'm not sure if it was the ladder.
Yeah, right.
It probably won't let us on the ladder.
I know.
But maybe it's a bucket. I'm not sure exactly what.
Whatever they helped.
But, thanks.
Yeah, right. Okay, so what's killing me on this is, was he going or coming? Was he had already gone inside, or was this like him trying to get in? Or
I think he
heard the sirens and...
It's hard to put ourselves in the mindset of a criminal.
Well, you got to think like a criminal, sir.
Well, I mean, or you just catch him in the act and don't have to worry about why.
Right.
But we got to him and we arrested him. And I don't know. Did he try to get in? But he was breaking windows. He tried to do the roof job. Who knows?
Okay. All right. You had a Walgreens knife robbery. Is that right? A robbery with a knife? This is like yesterday, today?
Well, this one the 19th. So
okay,
it was
a little
yesterday.
Bit.
So, yeah, we got a call. I saw it on social media that why is all these sheriff's cars around this Walgreens?
Yeah.
Well, it's because some knucklehead decided to go into Walgreens with a knife and rob them and then take off. Well, we did a pretty good job of perimeter. We had our drone up. We had our canines up. Weren't able to initially find him. But, again, our detectives, and even our patrol deputies, our uniformed patrol deputies, don't give up. And they were able to identify him and
there you
put
go.
Cuffs on him. He's in jail. So I can only envision him in the cell with the pawn shop burglar and down the hall from the guy that shot his stepdaughter.
And goodness. Do you flock cameras have been talked about quite a bit. Any of these cases that were helped solve by any of that kind of technology, the camera technology that you know of?
Yes. I know that.
Somebody asked me about the Phoenix case, if that was, if Flock helped with that. But
yeah, I'm not quite ready to talk about all the things that we do, but I can't. Flock cameras, but there's some other technologies that we're able to use.
Okay.
With our partnerships with the federal authorities. But I can tell you that the Flock cameras do help us. When this Oakwood terrorist shooting, we certainly look at the cameras, the license plate readers. There's some differences. Not all the cameras we have are Flock cameras.
Sure.
Everyone, Flock catches some heat in some environments. But not necessarily here in Escambia County because
they're infrared.
Well, no,
or it catches criticism.
Gotcha. It catches some verbal heat.
Yeah, gotcha.
For that sort of thing. But so we do use those cameras, and some of the first thing to protocol is let's see who was there, let's see if there's video, and then let's see who was driving in and out, because the two people that were that were injured, both mm-hmm. were transported to the hospital. So both of them left that area, and we do have some cameras, some license plate readers in that area. So we can point out, you know, which cars left at a certain time. And then at the hospital, they obviously have cameras as well. So we can do a pretty good job of figuring out who took someone to the hospital, how long it took them to get from here to there. Could mm-hmm. they have stopped and discarded a weapon? What was their path that they took. So again, so maybe we can go and look and see if they might have discarded a weapon outside the window. You know, the old try and shoot, throw it out the window, then no one will ever find it type of thing.
But because you can reconstruct their travel route, at least a lot of times you can, you might be able to find evidence after the fact. That all makes perfect sense.
Just like we planned it.
Yeah. I don't have any time to get into it, but you did graduate, what, 15 new 15, from the 15 academy?
15 new deputies last night.
Brand new badges and everything. Love
it. Yeah, we got to put the badge on first. So there's a badge pinning ceremony with someone that they love or trust, and uh-huh. and they'll put the pin, and then they'll raise their right hand. I'll swear them in, and the look on their face, I reminisce for me. but I did make a comment yesterday. I said, this is a pretty big deal, because there's hundreds of people there. I know yeah. you're running out of time, but I don't really care, because it's not my station. So, and then I'd have them raise their hand, and they're giving their oath, and then they're, again, but when I got sworn in, there was one person, me and the chief, and apparently a cameraman, because there's a camera that was there as well. So, congratulations to them. They've joined the team, and we look forward to their
look
careers.
Of joy on young Deputy Simmons' face. I would love to see that sometime.
There's more terror on my face.
So, Sheriff, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for doing what you do to keep us informed. I appreciate it.
You bet. Y'all take care.